this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. Once again, we're recording at Nutmeg with our engineer Frank Verderosa, and we're once again joined by Paul, I serve no purpose here whatsoever, Rayburn.
Colossal Obsessions.
Hey, this is Progress, the first time he's introduced you, Paul.
Yeah.
And I think it may be the last.
It's a step up.
I don't really know. Okay.
Go ahead.
Two things to begin with. One, I read this tweet.
Yes.
Jake Fogelnest.
Oh, I know Jake. He's a comedy writer.
Yes. He said, I love Real Gilbert's podcast. His latest conversation with Barry Levinson is great. Though I already knew that Mark Bolan from T-Rex was Jewish. So this is an educational show.
Absolutely. We've known that from the get-go.
And an important news story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever told this story before about Danny Thomas.
Really? Danny Thomas?
Yeah. Okay. Let me tell you if
Amos
I haven't.
Amos Jacobs?
Yes. Danny Thomas, according to legend, if I've never said this before, Danny Thomas, according to legend, was into lying underneath a glass coffee table and having hookers get on top of the table and take a shit on the table. And some people say he would wear a priest outfit when he was lying, when he was getting shit on.
People like to put their own spin on it.
Some say he dressed up in a chauffeur's uniform.
I never heard that
one. To pick up the hookers.
Wow.
But anyway, what everyone agrees upon is that he did like to lie underneath the glass coffee table and have hookers take a shit on the table.
Everyone agrees on that.
And I don't know.
Is the Archbishop of Canterbury?
Yes. Yes. And I think they used to play Danny Boy.
Oh, really?
Well, whatever. And so anyway, we're not screaming plagiarism. But on the HBO show Veep, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus, she said the following. Frank?
I trust I have made myself suitably clear.
As clear as the coffee table Danny Thomas had his hooker shit on. It's an American expression.
So there you go. We're influencing American culture here.
You're taking credit for this.
Yes.
I hope our lawyers are on this case.
Well,
our staff.
Two people who deserve credit. Me and Danny Thomas for actually getting shit on underneath the coffee table.
Wow. There are many different paths to immortality. Yeah, we got a lot of mail from people about that Veep episode. I mean, that thing's been in the culture forever, despite Gilbert trying to take the credit for it. But it was very, very interesting to see that. If we ever get somebody from Veep on, we'll ask them.
This is actually, there's the website, The Straight Dope,
yeah,
has an extended discussion of the origins.
I'm sure they do.
Of this story. I'm going to look through here and see if Gilbert and you are mentioned.
Oh, I would be so profoundly honored to be included. So, is that it for housekeeping? You got anything?
I think so.
Okay.
For now.
Any news about your movie, people are asking.
Oh, my movie is under the strange title Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been getting rave reviews, shockingly.
Yes, even Howard mentioned it on his show.
Yeah, Howard Stern mentioned it twice already.
How the hell did he get a copy? Did Neil send it to him?
I think Boy Gary.
Oh, there you
go. Gary Delabate.
Okay, so
got him a copy.
So stay tuned on that, and we'll let you know when the movie is available.
Howard
to
Stern
see.
Liked it, yeah.
There's something different this week I thought I would throw at you guys, because we've been doing one-hit wonders. We did most recently 1973, I think, was where we left off. And I was doing research for 1974 and stumbled upon this fun little thing on Wikipedia, and I thought, oh, this will make a funny episode. This is, and I'll get to stump Gilbert with this, but this is one-hit wonders from other media. These are one-hit wonders by people who were not known for being singers.
Well,
and they made the Billboard charts.
We talked about one of those already, which was Vicki Lawrence.
She's on the list.
Yes. She's on
Vicki
the list.
Vicki Lawrence, the night the lights went out in Georgia, is on the list. So I'm going to go through these real quickly. If it takes too long, we'll stop halfway through and we'll turn it into a two-parter. We'll see how far we get. But, Frankie, I think you have the first one queued up. And if Gilbert knows this, I know he'll know the song, but if he knows who the famous person singing this is, I'll be very, very impressed. So here we go.
Hill and gully rider, hill and gully.
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 It's the Banana Boat song.
Wait. Would this be Alan Arkin?
How the hell did you come up with that? Son of a bitch.
I feel like I can take the rest of the year off.
Wow. Certainly take the night off.
How
did you know that? The Tarriers. Alan Arkin was with a folk group.
Yes.
A New York City folk group called the Tarriers.
I am so proud of that.
How the hell did you come up with that? Alan Arkin made the Billboard charts.
Hearing that, I think we can understand why he never made the charts again.
Well, it's all downhill from here now because he's really impressed.
We have to have Alan Arkin on the podcast.
We was just on The View. I got to meet him. Tough guest.
Thanks for asking.
Well, I didn't ask it. But then again, you didn't ask David Alan Greer.
No. I meet these various celebrities almost every day. And then afterwards, Frank will say to me, So, did you ask him to do the podcast? I'll go, that would have been a good thing.
You just have this show, this little show. Your wife gives you grief about it, too.
Yeah, they're celebrities, and we interview celebrities. Oh, I should have thought of that.
You should have.
You've only been at this a couple of years,
yes.
So it's still new.
Alan Arkin, Eric Darling, and Bob Carey performed regularly in Washington Square with a group called the Tarriers, a folk group. And Arkin left in 1958 to pursue acting.
And I heard they were singing that before Harry Belafonte.
I don't know, but that's cool. They charted, if that's true, it's very cool. They charted number 4, February of 1957. Isn't that interesting? And two guys that later joined the group were Eric Weisberg of Dueling Banjos fame.
Oh, wow.
And Marshall Brickman, who wrote Annie Hall with Woody Allen. And directed the movie Simon with
Alan Arkin. Wow, that's right.
Weird connections.
He did a few movies with Woody Allen.
Brickman, yeah. I think Manhattan, too.
Yeah.
And certainly Annie Hall. So there you go. Got it right out of the box, the bastard.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing.
Okay, I'm leaving.
Okay.
That was both amazing and colossal.
It was.
Yeah. Now, that was the exact opposite of what Paul does here. He looks at his phone. He has to give him the fucking information.
It's the first time I've ever said anything nice about Gilbert, and here's what I get. You know? don't make a habit of it.
Don't make a habit of it. Now, I don't have all these queued up, but the second one, and I'm not even going to go in order because I'm just going to do these randomly because Wikipedia didn't do them chronologically, but Jim Backus charted with a song called Delicious.
Ooh.
In 1958. It must have been a spoken word thing. Jim Backus and Friend. Maybe it was I don't know if Magoo was around then, but July 58, it went to number 40. And then I know you'll know this artist, Kookie Kookie, Lend Me Your Comb.
Oh, Kookie Ed Burns.
Ed Kookie Burns in May of 1959 went to number 4.
Kookie, Lend Me Your Comb.
I believe Connie Stevens is on that track with him.
77 Sunset Strip, was that the...
Ed Burns. Kookie Burns.
Right.
Who was an actor, not a singer. Another actor who charted, and I said we're jumping around here, in August of 1976, Gilbert, the song was I'm Easy.
Oh, that was the Carradine.
Yes.
Keith Carradine.
Keith Carradine.
And it was in the movie Nashville.
Very good.
Wow.
Look at this guy.
Look at this.
Will you be my lifeline if I get under there? Okay. Now, here's one we actually queued up. And I think you'll probably get this one since you've worked with the man. This went to number 4 in August of 1967. Francis? Well, it's obviously Stevie Wonder's song.
Yes.
Uptight, everything's all right.
I'm going to say Bill Cosby.
It is Bill Cosby. Very good. Very good. Did you know this song? Had you ever heard this song?
Yeah. Well, no, I've heard other songs by him.
Love is a drug.
Andy, you came and you gave without thinking, but I sent you away. Oh, Andy, will you kiss me and stop me from shaking? Oh, and I need you to lay. Oh, Andy.
That is incredible.
There are levels of subtlety there that are beyond.
That is
Jell-O pudding. You can't be a kid without it.
Wow. I don't know where to begin. Yeah. Bill Cosby did this song, Little Old Man, in parentheses, Uptight, Everything's All Right, which is a take on Stevie Wonder's song, dedicated to his grandfather. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. It's from the album Silver Throat. Bill Cosby sings.
Oh, well, Silver Throat was where all those guys were.
Golden Throats,
yeah,
I think those were called. Yeah, Drew Friedman did some
Anthony
of those covers.
Anthony Quinn.
Anthony Quinn.
And, of course,
right.
William Shatner.
Right, right. But I didn't know he also covered Mandy. So we learned that today. Thank you for that, Frank, and that Jell-O pudding interlude.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And now back to the show. Les Crane with Desiderata.
Oh my God. Was that Go Placidly
yes.
Among the...
Yeah. That's the one.
That was such a bullshit thing. because everybody had posters
sure.
of that, that they found it in some Lithuanian church, and it was chiseled there in like 1303. And then they found out it was complete bullshit. Some writer came up with that, and they came up with the church story to go with it.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
We talked about Les Crane with Cliff Nesteroff when he was here, talk show host. So a talk show host made it to number 8 in 1971 on the Billboard charts with that song. Les Crainer was married to at one point in his life?
Ooh.
Tina Louise.
Oh, my God.
There you go. So far we had a comedian, three actors, and a talk show host, all charting. Rick Dees and his cast of idiots with Disco Duck.
Oh, yeah.
A disc jockey who charted in 76. Everett Dirksen, Senator Everett Dirksen.
Oh, God. Oh, what was he?
It was called Gallant Men.
Oh.
In 1966, number 29.
Was that a Vietnam? Must be.
I don't know what
now,
it must
now, have. I remember there used to be, I think it was a novelty record that came out with a guy imitating Dirksen.
Paul, your first assignment of the evening.
I'm on it.
Okay. Give that about 30 minutes.
Give it about a year.
Frank, not you too.
Let's see. Mike Douglas. Mike Douglas, the talk show host. We had this when we did our first One Hit Wonders from 66. The Men in My Little Girl's Life.
Oh, boy.
Mike Douglas.
I don't want to know. You know, I just realized asking Paul a question is like throwing a dog a ball. It's like, you know, it gets him. Not to annoy
I balanced the question on my nose for a long time.
Okay, what do you got? Anything?
Nothing.
We'll continue. Okay, Gil.
But you've never asked him things before.
This went to number one in November of 1964. The song was Ringo. Who was the artist?
Yeah, I know
Lauren
that one.
Green,
Lauren
right?
Green.
Lauren Green. Yes. Lauren Green. Now, the interesting trivia about that is it was based on the song was about an actual outlaw named Johnny Ringo. But at least according to Wiki, Ringo Starr's popularity led to the release of the song. Even though it's not about him.
I think because most people thought, you know, when they heard the name Ringo,
sure.
were thinking of him.
But it's from Lauren's album, Welcome to the Ponderosa. Did you have that LP?
That's how I got laid from listening to that album.
What was it? What was the line from Jackie Gale? A 60-year-old father with three 57-year-old sons. About Bonanza. Calling back to the Barry Levinson episode. Okay, here's one that's I don't have this queued up either, but here's one that's a tribute to our friend Jimmy Webb, and I think you know where I'm going with this. Richard Harris.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I remember this song correctly. Wait. What's that first line of this? Fuck. What's the first line of
MacArthur Park?
Yeah.
The song is
Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain?
That's the main
Spring
part.
Was never waiting for us.
Spring was never waiting for us, girl. It ran one step ahead on the ground that we walked. MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark. All the sweet green icing's flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Because it took so long to bake it. And I'll never have that recipe again. Oh, no.
Now you know why Jimmy only wanted to do the chorus.
Yes,
Jimmy
yes.
Jimmy has revised the score of that song to include the notes that Gilbert, yeah. only Gilbert can.
Jimmy was sitting in this very chair 2 weeks ago.
And now there are a bunch of stray dogs outside.
There are claw marks in this chair that I'm pretty sure were left by Jimmy.
In my typical fashion of being way behind the conversation, I have something on Everett Dirksen.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm impressed that you knew the first line of MacArthur Park.
Well,
I'm
practicing. So in 67, he had a surprise hit with Gallant Men, we knew. Mm-hmm. He won a Grammy Award for Best Spoken Word Album, and that's where the comedian Bill Minken came in, who had the brilliant idea of using Dirksen's dramatic voice to use the Let's Get Sexy lyrics of Wild Thing by the Trogs with the nom de comedy of Senator Everett McKinley. They had to have two sides, so on the other side, they did something with a more liberal Senator Robert F. Kennedy. It was released ultimately as the A side, by Senator Bobby and the Hardly Worth It Players. And
this
it reached number 20.
This is the song you were talking about?
What?
This is the novelty song?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very good.
This is the parody.
Good find.
Who was it? What was the company or place that put out those novelty ones that would have like about 10 songs? You know, they go like, oh, Mr. President, I have.
You mean Dickie Goodman stuff?
Oh,
we talked about that on previous shows.
Yeah.
I thought Dickie would be a good guest, and then I found out that he committed suicide.
Well, that's when we asked him to do this show
a while back. So,
so this guy,
Jaws,
you don't know this,
not be coming here.
Bill Minkin. I
never heard of Bill Minkin.
Okay, so he became friends with Martin Scorsese and had bit parts in Taxi Driver and The King of Comedy, and hosted.
Damned.
For 20 years, he hosted the King Biscuit Flower Hour.
Of course. That's a very popular show. Shame on me for not knowing him. Okay. We'll move on past MacArthur Park.
Shame on me for kissing you with my eyes closed. Do you remember what movie that's from?
Behind the Green Door?
No. That thing you do.
Oh, gosh. I love that movie. I'm going to bring that up on a future show.
I've wasted a million kisses on you. Kisses that I thought meant something. Shame on me for kissing you with my eyes closed.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
And when I heard that, I thought, give me a fucking break.
The rest of that movie's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of special things in it. You know now why I didn't queue up MacArthur Park, because I was pretty confident.
It's sort of perpetually queued up.
Sure, it's queued up in here. How about the song Heartbeat, number 5, in September of 1986, by an actor, I'll give you a hint, known for his stubble. His famous stubble.
Ooh.
And his white.
What's his name? Miami Vice.
Yes, Don Johnson.
Don Johnson. Cheryl Ladd, who came up recently on this show.
We had
Ronnie Schell.
Because her father, Alan Ladd, used to like to gather actresses.
Our father-in-law.
Yeah, her father-in-law. And he'd stand naked as they circled him, dancing and singing. He would be holding a chicken at the time. And these actresses would circle him and start dancing and singing, going, Giuseppe, they got to fuck that. Chicken!
I never heard this story before.
Yeah, no, never, how about the Danny Thomas one?
That one I've never told before.
Here's what Sarah Silverman, I did find this. Sarah Silverman has repeatedly said in her act that the Danny Thomas sandwich at Cantor's Deli is suspiciously called the number 2.
Oh, God bless her. God bless Sarah. We got to get her on the show. But this is a banner episode. You got the Danny Thomas story and the Alan Ladd story in one episode.
And we're not done
yet.
Overload. Cheryl Ladd's ex-father-in-law.
Oh, yes.
By the way, just to be precise.
I guess there's no way you could segue me into a Cesar Romero.
I don't see it. I'm not at the end of the list yet. Keep the faith. Let's see. Of course, we talked about this one, and you sang it, and this is Vicki Lawrence. Again, number 1. By the way, the Cheryl Ladd song was called Think It Over, and it went to number 34 in 1978. Vicki Lawrence with The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, number 1 of April of 1973. And we told the story behind that. That it was written, I think, for Cher, and Sonny Bono thought that advised her not to do it because he thought that they would alienate their Southern fan base.
Oh, geez.
And Bobby Russell, who was Vicki Lawrence's husband who wrote the song, she said, I'll do it. Went into the studio, and heaven knows what they were thinking at the time. Well, okay, let her do it. And she did.
She's fine.
Number one.
Yeah.
One of the biggest songs of 1973. So that's a fun story. Here we go. 1956, Gil. This went to number 10, December of 1956. And who do you think charted with the song Rockabye Your Baby with a Dixie
Jerry
melody?
Jerry Lewis. Rockabye my baby with a Dixie Dixie Melody.
Very good.
Frankie, can you turn down my headphones, please?
There you go. You turn mine off.
Turn them up. Absolutely. I'll turn them up. I turned it all the way off.
You also
for you.
Turn my ears off. Yep, 1956. How about that? December of 1956, number 10. Rockabye your. So there's our first comedian who actually charted. We've had a talk show host, actors and actress, a U.S. senator, a disc jockey. Oh, well, our second comedian, so Bill Cosby. How about that? Did you know that Jerry Lewis had made the Billboard charts?
Yes. That was a big hit.
Top 40
then.
With Jolson.
Yes.
Covering
but
Jolson.
He was he not beaten by his son,
Gary Lewis,
who
yes,
did Gary Mudd did better than number
this
10,
diamond
didn't he?
Ring.
Who wants to buy this diamond ring? She took it off her finger now. It doesn't mean a thing. Oh, this diamond ring doesn't shine for me anymore. And this diamond ring doesn't mean what it did before. So if you find someone to love like I did, make sure there's love behind it. Bum, bum, bum.
You know what's amazing? He's got this voice that could stop time.
Right.
And yet, he's strangely in key.
Yeah.
I'm not a musician.
Emphasis on the word strangely.
Well.
Necessarily...
That's true, Frank.
I should release an album titled Strangely in Key.
Well, who was it that was in here that was complimenting his singing? We had a musician
John
on
yeah.
the show. Who was it?
John Murray was complimenting him.
John Murray.
That he was
yeah, John Murray. I think Jimmy Webb also.
But
you know,
I think the key with Gilbert is not the key, but the pathos.
Yes.
The emotion.
When you want someone to love you, count me too. And if I'm not first one on your list, then count me blue.
Oh, it's Gary Lewis
count
again.
Count him. Yeah.
That's right.
We could get Gary on the show. He's around. He's a friend
to.
Of Howard Kalin's.
Yes.
And I think he's toured with Ron Dante, another future guest. So we'll make that happen. Okay, here's another one.
Everybody loves a clown, so why don't you? Laughs at the things that I say and do. Everybody laughs when they see me coming, but you don't laugh. You just go home running. Why don't you see that I'm just playing a part of a clown with a broken heart?
Wow.
Needing all your love and not knowing where to start.
Did you buy every Gary Lewis? Yeah.
I talk about all these artists that have charted, but yeah. Sometimes Gilbert singing makes me want to chart.
I got it.
I don't like when I have a lot of Mexican food.
Yes. It's shared by many. All right, moving on. That was from the Gary Lewis medley.
Are you sure you're done with Gary Lewis?
I hope somebody sends this episode to Gary Lewis. Here's another one.
We'll have to send it to him.
Here's one you've sang on the show. This went to number 35 in July of 1969 by a comedian.
Oh.
And it was first, yeah, I'll give you, this will give it to you. It was first recorded by Dion. In fact, it was written by Dion. It charted in initially 1968. The singer was Moms Mabley.
Oh, I got trees of gray.
No, that's not it.
does everybody
that's
here?
The one.
No, my old friend Martin.
That's it.
Can you tell me where he's gone?
Oh my God. Does Whoopi know about your Mom's Mabel impression?
Did she cover Dion's version? Or
she
he
did. He charted in 68. He went to number 4, and Mom's went to number 35 in 69 with her heartrending version of Abraham Martin and John.
See, and when Whoopi was on the show, I brought up that I remember hearing Moms Mabley on Merv Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's, she would say, Merv Griffin, mm-hmm. And off a preacher. And she sang, Well, he didn't read and he didn't write, but he was nobody's fool. That's why he could never be the shamus of the shul.
Whoopi know the shamus of the shul?
I think she
trying to remember.
Did.
She knows a lot about Moms Mabley, having done that film. Okay, this is going to be our last one, and we will stop here, and we'll do this as a two-parter since you're having so much fun with it, and I've got another 15 songs that we'll never get through in this one, and this one's queued up. Now, if you know this singer, all I'll say is he's been mentioned on the show a time or two.
Cesar Romero.
No. This went to number 25.
Danny Thomas.
Nope. No. The Heart of Glass by Danny Thomas. 1962, number 25, Frank.
Did you say I've got a lot to learn?
Oh.
Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn.
Boy.
Since this is the perfect spot to learn, yeah, teach me tonight.
Teach Me Tonight is the song.
And he was a comedian?
No. He was an actor.
An actor?
Still is an actor. He's still with us.
Oh.
He's still with us. And he has not sued this show yet.
Oh, my God.
That's a hint.
Oh, fuck.
That could be so many people.
Oh, God.
Mr. George Maharis.
Oh, my
George
God.
George Maharis.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yes. And I think the production, the producer on that was Perfecto Tellis.
Yeah, and it was recorded in a mobile station.
Yes.
That's why the acoustics are so good.
Because he needed that good reverb.
Sammy Kahn's Teach Me Tonight was recovered by everybody. Frank, what do you got on Teach Me Tonight?
It was a Tellis release.
A Tellis release.
Yeah, because George Maharis,
shame on you.
For those who don't know, he was a handsome actor, TV actor on Route 66, and he was arrested for performing sexual acts on a fellow named Perfecto Tellis.
Yes, a hairdresser.
Yes, yes. Well, with that name, you'd have to be a hairdresser.
You know, it's interesting you mention the Danny Thomas story coming up on Veep. Perfecto Tellis, or Tellis,
yes,
was a name of a character on Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
So Mitch Hurwitz and the people behind Arrested Development.
Even though that was years ago, I'm still saying they got it from me.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
The George Maharis tune, Teach Me Tonight, the 7-inch 45 record is available on Amazon. For those of you who want to rush out and buy a copy.
And speaking of 7 inches, that's why he was arrested.
I let him take that one. Yeah. I just said, give him 10 seconds.
Yeah. It's a 7-inch, but when Tellis is there, it's a 12-inch.
We lost Perfecto Tellis. George Maharis is still with us. Maybe he'd do the show. Maybe not. It was covered by Chaka Khan, by Sinatra, by Sonny and Cher, by all kinds of people. Teach Me Tonight. That's all I got. And all I can say in closing is that this episode has the Danny Thomas story and the
George Maharis
and the George
story.
Maharis story
and the Alan Ladd story.
Wow, what more do you need?
And well, there is
all
one
in
thing.
One. Huh?
There is one more.
We'll see if we can work Caesar in the
Caesar.
Round. But there you go. We'll call this one One Hit Wonders from Other Media. But isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
Yeah, something different. And you tell you, it was all downhill after you got Alan Arkin singing the fucking Banana Boat.
I am so, I was in shock.
Very good. You want to take us out?
Yes.
You can take us out with a song, or you can take us out.
Well, first, I'm Gilbert Gottfried. This is Gilbert. I'm Gilbert Gottfried.
Who the hell else would make that claim?
I was answering every other question, but my own name I fucked up.
Wasn't that a movie called I Know My Name is Gilbert?
Yes. I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this has been Gilbert and Frank's amazing Colossal Obsessions, One Hit Wonder, or what, not One Hit
Wonder. One Hit Wonders from other media.
From other media.
Yeah.
And this has been part one. What song do you want me to take you out with?
I don't know. Give us a little more Mom's Mavericks. Colossal Obsessions. How about her version of Mandy?
Oh, Mandy, you came and you gave without taking, but I sent you away. Oh, Mandy.
Too many teeth.
When you kiss me and stop me from shaking, and I need you today.